Few people realize that our perception of time or time duration is only partly determined by the external clock time, and that the main determinants are our psychology and physiology, so that sometimes time seems to expand and other times time seems to contract, depending on the circumstances. Welcome to our podcast, Dialogues, Philosophy, Psychology, and Economics. I am Monica Capra. In this episode, we will talk about time and time perception and how it relates to our understanding of economic decisions. Stop for a moment and think about time. Is it absolute? Is a second everywhere in the universe? Or is a second something else, depending on where you are and the speed at which you're moving? These are things that physicists in the 1900s were wondering about, and Einstein came up with this idea of time being an illusion. Einstein showed that time does not progress at the same rate for everyone, everywhere. Instead, what happens is that how fast time progresses depends on how fast the clock measuring time is moving, so that the faster an object moves, the slower time passes by for that object. And what's astonishing is that, theoretically speaking, one person's past could actually be someone else's future. That's why Einstein thought of time as being a mere illusion. Setting aside the physics of time, the idea that time is not the same to everyone is also a physiological and psychological phenomenon that influences how we behave and therefore influences our economic decisions. Indeed, a minute to you might not be the same as a minute to you. If I ask you to wait 5 minutes, that might be a lot to you, but might not be much to me. So how we experience those 5 minutes actually depends how long those minutes are to us. So there is a difference between the external clock time and how we subjectively experience time. Now, there are studies in physiology that looked at certain pathologies such as Parkinson's disease that affects how people perceive time. These studies revealed that people with Parkinson's disease tend to experience time differently, and that when drugs are given to the patients to improve their symptoms, that their perception of time goes back to normal. Also, anyone who has experienced recreational drugs, such as marijuana, will feel that distance and experience of how long it takes to reach goal or a place is affected by the consumption of cannabis. So the reason is because drugs, be them for Parkinson's disease or for recreation or medical conditions, actually affect our dopamine. And it's believed that dopamine is processes or the mechanism by which we process time perception. So there are other things that also affect time perception, such as temperature, illumination, and what it is that we are doing. So there's this idea that flow, that when we are doing something that we completely are kind of engaged and focused in, it seems that time passes by at a different rate compared to when we are mindlessly doing something, or we are distracted, or we're thinking a lot about different things and our brains are completely scattered. So yes, I mean, the experiences of time is determined by our physiology, by our things that we consume, and also by what we are doing. So what's interesting is how this perception of time influences how we make decisions over time. So as we all know, a lot of our important decisions have to do with making trade-offs between today and tomorrow. So for example, if we want to save, what we are doing is foregoing current consumption. So we're giving up current consumption for future consumption. And that's a trade-off. The trade-off is that I'm giving up something today for something in the future. And presumably, you know, sacrificing consumption today, you do it because you're in the future, you're going to be better off. But the idea of that trade-off being worth it has to do with how we perceive the time duration between what's the present and what's the future. So if given the choice, for example, between getting $100 today and consume it, spend it, versus getting $120 a year from now and, you know, forgo the current consumption for a future consumption with $120, which option will we take? Well, it depends on how we see that extra year. You know, we will see the year as being, well, this is too long or this is too short. And the fact is that different people will see the same time duration differently. And those people who think that it's way too long are going to be more likely to choose the $100 today. And those who feel that the wait time of a year is not that long are going to prefer the $120 a year from now. So this is how the time perception, the duration or the waiting time, how we perceive that, whether it's going fast or slow, influences the trade-offs we make between current and future options and rewards. So what's also interesting is that if we look at different time periods into the future, let's say a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, every additional interval 1 year added into the future feels shorter and shorter. What it means is that adding an additional waiting interval seems to feel shorter and shorter, even if it's the same interval in terms of calendar or clock time. What it implies is that unlike the way in which economists see the way in which we discount the future, which is at a constant rate, it seems that the way in which we will discount the future will be at a different rate, and the rate will decrease as we project further into the future. So when we put these things into kind of mathematical expressions, what it turns out is that it seems that the way in which we discount the future is as if we had what's called a hyperbolic discount function, so that we discount the close future at a higher rate than the farther future. Whereas most economists or traditional economics, we look at discounting as being exponential, which means that we have a constant discount rate. So why should we care? Well, the reason why we should care is because almost all economic decisions take into account what it is going to be the trade-offs that we are going to make, so that the way in which we weight or discount the future matters. The rate at which we discount the future matters. And the function that is used to discount the future matters in order to determine policy. Let me give you an example. Suppose we are considering some environmental policy that will result in a reduction of current consumption. For example, we restrict the amount of energy that we can use from fossil fuels or carbon so that the future generations will have a cleaner environment. So how much will we be willing to forgo economic growth and wealth currently in order to ensure safety and perhaps higher wealth to future generations. These are trade-offs that we are making across different generations of people, epochs and times, and between people that exist today and people who are yet to exist in the future. Well, we need to have an idea of how to discount the future, if we do want to discount. So, these are important questions and, of course, are very active areas of research among economists. Experimental economists have done studies on time preferences or intertemporal decisions all over the world. And in general, what we observe is that as long as the subjects that are being studied are students, there don't seem to be huge differences across cultures. What is more interesting is to look at non-student subjects, so the general population. So what we have seen is that it seems that this idea that people can project into the future is not universal. And it's surprising to some economists, but perhaps not too surprising to people who have studied ancient history and anthropology. When we think of time, we think of the past, the present, the future, and we think of a linear relationship between what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen, so that we can project into the future ourselves as future selves, and we have an image or an idea of ourselves as past selves. But what's interesting is that not all cultures see time as being linear, but rather as it being circular. In fact, only in the Western modern civilizations are there any concepts of time being linear. Most ancient civilizations and the ancient Greeks and even the Mayas, who seem to have a more kind of interest in understanding the calendar and time, none of them thought of time as being linear. Time has always been, to most humans, cyclical. And the reason is because we have these seasonal cycles that every year we have a summer, a fall, a winter, and a spring. And these things repeat every year. Every day we have a morning, an afternoon, an evening, and a night. And this repeats every day. So this idea of us being free from cycles is relatively modern. And so when people project themselves, they will not project themselves as I am a future individual, but rather that my future is my present, because everything comes back. Now, economists are interested in finding out how our ability to project ourselves into the future affects our investment decisions. So, for example, is somebody who is unable to project less likely to invest in human capital or save for a potential rough day in the future? These intertemporal decisions that societies or people in societies make and have made throughout our history may be influenced by how we imagine ourselves. So this idea of projection or projection, understanding that the past actions have a consequence into the future, or that we indeed have a future, is important for making good economic choices. So it seems that both internal and external factors influence our perception of time. And one of the factors that seems to be most relevant that we have not talked about is aging. As we age, it seems that time goes by more quickly. children seem to have a different sense of time as compared to older people. And what's interesting is that as we get older, time goes faster and faster. So one question that we may want to ask is, how can we stop time? By focusing on a task or by meditating, we can consciously slow down time and how we experience it. And if you think about it, that is extremely powerful because one of the things that is most valuable to most people is time. Time is worth a lot more than we think. People are willing to pay tons of money to extend their lives, but we can also, in a way, extend time, or that is the subjective experience of time. And in the end, that's really what is most important. Thank you for listening, and please join us next week for another episode of Dialogus, Philosophy, Psychology, and Economics.